With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 16 in the NFL. Merry Christmas for those of you out there celebrating. I won't say Happy New Year yet because we will have a new pod for you next week, so tune in for that. But we got the Week 16 slate with a Christmas Day game, three terrible Saturday games, and the rest of the smorgasbord on Sunday, which we will go through as always. And when I say we, I mean myself, Gary Gramling, Mitch Goldich, my co-hosts. It was a 1-2-1 week, I think, for myself last week, and not great. What about you, Gary?
It was an uneventful week. I was 2-1, and just nothing out of the ordinary with those bets. Just, two wins, one loss.
Mitch, how about you?
I was also 1-2-1, same as you, Jimmy. Got off to a frustrating start with the Thursday night game where I had the Packers -8.5, and then the late field goal by Carolina cuts it to 8, and that's the final score. And then I was also annoyed with my push, which was the, I think, Jimmy, you and I were both on this, the Chiefs -3 against New Orleans.
Chiefs don't cover and try. So
yeah, that one also looked good for most of the game, and then came down to the end, they win by exactly 3, caused to be a push. It should have been a 3-1 week for me, so I'm gonna go ahead and complain about 1-2-1 if that's all right with you guys.
Well, at least neither one of you best bet the Pittsburgh Steelers like I did.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So I didn't even mention that one. Yeah, at least I didn't have the Rams also. But yeah, tough little week for me. Should have been better. I don't know.
All right. So it is amazing. The Chiefs win every game and never cover. It's amazing to see it every week. we will go through these games. Like I said, it kicks off week 16 on Friday, Christmas Day at 4:30. Thought maybe before the season this game would be a good one, but it's lost a lot of juice since the Vikings are done. Saints -7 against the Vikings in New Orleans. The total is 51.5. Gary.
Yeah, I'll start by getting up on my soapbox at the front of this one. Whatever ghoul at Park Avenue scheduled this game and was like, ooh, NBA might not be able to play because of the pandemic, so now we can claim Christmas Day. I mean, making these guys go out here on a Friday, Christmas afternoon when they... I mean, for God's sake, just let them spend a day with their families. Maybe.
I had a conversation with someone over the weekend. I don't understand why the game's not at 8 o'clock. This way they could have had the day. Why 4 over 8? That's what I don't
I think
understand.
Gary's 100% right. I think when they built the schedule, they thought the NBA wouldn't be back yet.
The NFL, no offense, I'm not trying. The NFL does not care about what the NBA does at all. They don't even think about what the NBA does. They just don't care. They know they're top dog. No one's going to. That's not even a consideration for them. I just don't understand why it's at 4 and not 8, 4:30 and not 8, but this has nothing to do with gambling.
As a non-Christmas celebrator, I'm not an expert in family dynamics of when people like to be around the TV
It has nothing to do with Christmas. It would have to do with any holiday. Like, 8 o'clock is a better time slot than 4 o'clock. That's what I don't understand. And I'm talking about for the players and the coaches. They could have had all day with their family.
Yeah. I will say, though, at the beginning of the season, we knew it wasn't going to be normal, but we knew that the schedule would be a little weird. Now that they played on Tuesday and Wednesday, it is kind of nice there's a Friday game because they do hit the whole bingo card, and there will be a game on every single day of the week this season, which has never happened before. And that is just kind of a nice, memorable nugget for how ridiculous and stupid this whole season was in many ways.
Yeah.
I love the Saints in this game if we want to actually talk about the game. I will be betting the Saints. I love the Saints. I think the Vikings are done. They've mailed it in. Drew Brees was going to have rust last week against the Chiefs in his first game back. I was surprised how many people thought Brees would come back and just be Drew Brees. I think that 1 week now under his belt will help him. And I think, I'm surprised this isn't 7.5 or even 8 where they would sort of try to make you back off the Saints in Vegas. I love the Saints here -7. Gary.
I do kind of lean Minnesota in this one. I was hoping it would, like you said, Jamie, I was hoping it would get 7.5 or 8 here. I'll back off when it's all said and done. But
I know you would.
The Saints defense was out there for 92 snaps. They basically played a game and a half 5 days ago. So, now they're heading out there and they're going to get a heavy dose of Dalvin Cook in this one. It's a tall order. No doubt, if this was a regular game, if this was a Sunday game, everything was kind of normal about it, I think I'd be all over the Saints. The fact that, this team is just going to be worn down.
I would expect Vikings to be worn down, too. They got their asses kicked by the Bears, and, there was a lot of snaps in that one for the pathetic Viking defense. So I don't see the Saints being stopped on offense here.
I'm actually with Gary a little bit. This just... To me, Jimmy, you're totally right, but this just feels like the kind of game the Vikings would keep close or possibly even win outright. I'm going to pick the Saints to win outright, but a 7-point spread, I could easily see Minnesota covering. It feels like these teams play more often than they actually do just because they've had a couple of playoff matchups within the last few years, although I know one, the Minneapolis Miracle, predated the Kirk Cousins era. But it is still like kind of fresh in your mind that the Vikings won in New Orleans just last year in the playoffs. But this is just such a Minnesota thing to get basically knocked out last week and then play spoiler and just win a random Friday afternoon game against New Orleans and finish 8-8 anyway. And, I'm not that confident in them actually winning the game outright, but 7's a pretty big spread, so I'm not going to be best betting this. I have a feeling Jimmy is, and that's why it's in the top of the show here. But I lean Minnesota. This just feels like a game where a team like that, they'll at least, keep it close, lose by 4-6, whatever.
Now we go to Saturday, first game at 1 o'clock on Saturday, Bucks -9.5 in Detroit, total 53.5, Mitch.
Yeah, Jimmy, you mentioned the Saturday games are not super exciting. I don't know. So, I guess Matt Stafford is going to try and play through his rib injury again. I have no idea why he would, maybe just to show that he's a tough guy, and maybe he also thinks it's his last season in Detroit and he wants to get as many starts as he can under his belt for that team that he loves. But I don't know, 5-9 with that kind of injury, I would certainly shut it down. The Lions, they're done. They're at the point now they fired their special teams coach after he went rogue with a fake punt last week, which is a great story. I don't know if they get a special teams bump or if that's a bad thing for them. The line itself is a stay away for me. I just partly because of the Bucks, I just don't think I'm high enough on them to pick them to win by double digits right now. I was looking at the over possibly, and I could kind of be talked into that. I was looking 7 out of the Lions' last 8 games have been over this number, 53.5. And of course, the one that they weren't was when they got shut out 20-0 against PJ Walker. But I just think with enough questions about Stafford, the whole thing, the line and the total are both a stay away from me.
I really like the over in this one, and you can only like it so much because of the Stafford factor. I mean, if Stafford played 60 minutes, I think they had no problem putting up 24, 27, 30 points on this Bucs defense. The question is, will this game be, you know, 27-7, and then they just send Chase Daniel out in the third quarter and sort of mercifully pull the plug on the Matthew Stafford reign here in Detroit? But look, this Bucs offense is going to light up teams that can't rush the passer. The Lions can't rush the passer. They can't cover either. So I think the Bucs are going to take these last 2 weeks. They get Detroit this week. They host Atlanta next week. I think they're just going to put up as many points as they can. I think they climb into the 30s. I think Stafford can hang around for the most part, and this one ends up getting into the high 50s, low 60s as a total. And just a couple of trends: your Bucks 12-1 over, so over in 12 of 13 when playing a defense that allows 350 plus yards per game. They're also 8-0 over in their last eight games in a dome stadium, and that's both those stats go back to 2018. So, you know, you're crossing over in the Jameis years, but it's still a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not comfortable laying 9.5 with the Bucs, and I'm certainly not comfortable ever betting the Lions. And I like you guys had a lean on the over, but I saw some news this morning about like the Lions with a lot of COVID issues, and so it made me back off best betting this is an over, but I would lean over with you guys. I think, you know, the Bucs will put up a lot of points here. If Stafford plays, I see, you know, Tampa Bay putting up some, Detroit putting up some points to get that over, but I don't know what's going on with the health, and I had it as a stay away more than a possible best bet. All right, next game on Saturday. I'm not going to go off, even though I want an absolute disgrace. You can only watch this on Amazon Prime or Twitch, not on television. Cardinals -5 against the Niners, total 48.5. Gary.
Yeah, I like the Niners in this one. I like I like teams getting points against division rivals. I like the fact that George Kittle, if he's not back, they're at least trying to get him back. I think that sort of signals not only that the coaching staff wants to win, but it signals to the players that the coaching staff is still planning on winning games down the stretch here. The one thing you worry about is the way Nick Mullins turns the ball over. Is this going to be just sort of a meltdown for them? But we've seen teams move the ball on the Cardinals. As much as I like what Vance Joseph has done there defensively, I think the 49ers can hang around in this one, or at the very least, if it's a situation where they're down two possessions late, they're going to go out and score some points late in this game, kind of like they did in Dallas last week.
Well, first off, Gary, not mentioning this is a double home game for both of these teams. So the most important thing is to figure out how that will affect. I think you have to say it definitely favors the Cardinals here, who are the actual team. The 49ers, by the way, they were on the road last week, whereas the Cardinals were home. So in terms of actual travel, you'd think it might actually benefit them. But I don't know. Gary, I see your point about George Kittle and the message that sends. And obviously, if he's out there and he's healthy, that's a huge help for them. But I mean, they shut down Mostert and Debo. They're both done. It kind of feels to me like the Niners had their chance to barely hang on. They were like heading to a shred of mathematical hope, and now they realize that they're done. I've been encouraged by the Cardinals the last couple weeks. I know it's just NFC East teams, but I thought they did a good job taking care of business against the Giants, that game when Daniel Jones was hobbled, and then they finished off the Eagles in what was kind of a weird game. But I thought they showed some showed something coming out on top at the end there. So, you know, I like them. I feel like this is kind of that game for Arizona. People were so high on them coming into the year and then on the bandwagon a little bit and then fell off them. But I still think they're talented. I still think they're right. They're in that wild card mix. And I think this is the kind of game where they're going to, put on a nice show in front of a national audience. Maybe not Jimmy. He won't be watching. He won't be able to figure out how to tune into the game. But I think a lot of people are going to see this game and sort of be back on that Cardinals bandwagon. And then we'll be ready to bet against them in the first week of the playoffs. But I do like Arizona here in this game. I just think the 49ers, they've been impressive what they've done despite all their injuries, and I give a lot of credit to Shanahan and their staff, and they've had some good games, but I've talked about this all year. they haven't shown up every single game. Like, the Niners have had a few of those games where they sort of surprised me and some other people, but it hasn't been every single week, and I do like Arizona here.
I can figure out how to watch it, but out of principle, I won't, and I will not bet it, so I have nothing to say about it. Next game, Saturday night, Dolphins -3 at the Raiders. Total 47.5, Mitch.
Yeah, I like the Dolphins here. I like them. I best bet them last week, and that was my one actual win. My gut does tell me to be weirdly worried about Marcus Mariota. Everyone loves to bury Derek Carr for whatever reason, and I'm not going to do that here, but it was kind of exciting. Mariota's one of those backups when he comes into the game, and especially a primetime game last week, everyone's like, oh, it's Marcus Mariota, and it was kind of fun. Jimmy's yawning as I'm saying this, so maybe he wasn't as excited.
I mean, Marcus Mariota is going to draw your own, sorry.
Our YouTube, our new YouTube following. Jimmy is the king of SI's YouTube, so now they know when I'm boring you and when I'm not. But no, you know, I thought he played pretty well until that interception last Thursday. I think earlier in the season, I might be worried about a Dolphins letdown here because, you know, that's like a big game for them, beating the Patriots and eliminating them. But this is not a spot where they can have a letdown because, you know, they're still in the middle of a playoff race, so they can't coast. It's still a huge game. So I expect them to be up for this. And the Raiders, they're essentially done at this point. 7-7. They've lost 4 out of 5. And their only win was that Jets game on the Hail Mary. So honestly, I just think at the end of the day, I think it's a relatively easy one to pick here. I think the Dolphins are better. I think they should win. They're favored by a field goal. I'm a little surprised this line's not 3.5, 4 points, make you think about it a little more. But this is one of those where I just look at it and I think there's a better team favored by a field goal or less. I know they're on the road. That never bothers me. I like Miami here a lot.
See, I want to pick the Dolphins, but I'm not for the reason you said. I think there could be a letdown factor. I think even though it's a down year and they're not good, for them to beat the Patriots, I think last year was a big deal. And they do have a lot of injuries, the Dolphins, that they're dealing with. So now you're going across the country. You know, Raiders really not playing for anything. Like you said, you know, if Carr was there, I'd feel better about the Dolphins winning. But with Mariota, like I said, the Raiders aren't playing for anything, but he's there to try to there's incentives at stake and contract stuff at stake. So I think Miami -3 is a great line, but I fear the letdown, Gary.
But I just, Jimmy, like, I get it. The letdown in week 9, week 12 totally makes sense. This is like a well-coached team. Week 16, I don't think they're going to have a letdown when they're fighting for a playoff spot and they're right in the middle. Like, I'm yeah, with earlier in the
rookie,
season.
It's still a rookie quarterback, though. They haven't, and the team that hasn't been through this.
Yeah, I I'm less about the letdown, Jimmy. I think this game's a pick 'em. I'm not surprised the Raiders are getting points since they've been in a slump, and I think the Dolphins maybe opened some eyes last week. I think there's maybe an overreaction to the Dolphins after they've sort of been underrated all year in the market. This is just, it's a bad matchup for Miami. I mean, it's a Raiders team that wants to run the ball and run down people's throats. The Dolphins have relatively struggled, and people will say, well, they haven't struggled lately. They shut down the Bengals run game. They got a lead on the Chiefs. That's why the Chiefs didn't run on them, and they shut down the Jets, who didn't try running in a game that they weren't really competitive in. So you can run on the Dolphins. The Raiders' weakness right now is in the secondary. We'll see if Devontae Parker is back. We'll see what the Dolphins have for weapons, but it's just, it's never going to be an explosive passing game that they have. So I just think it's two teams. I think the Dolphins are a little bit better than the Raiders, but I think the matchup makes this a pick 'em. So the fact that the Raiders are getting +3, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good in my heart, but it feels good in my mind, getting Vegas, getting some points here.
Speaking of overreactions, the Browns are 9.5-point favorites against the Jets. Game is a home game for the Jets. Total 47. So when I say overreaction, I don't care what the Jets did against the Rams. This is still the worst offense in the NFL by far. I love the under 47 in this game. I don't think the Jets top 13 points here in this one. Gary?
I'm surprised about the overreaction because I feel like all of America probably didn't tune into that game until the second half.
Right, everyone's watching Chiefs Saints.
And then you saw the second half where the Rams were just moving the ball at will, and it was like, oh, right, okay, this is what we expected, but the Rams just couldn't score enough points when it was all said
holding
and done.
Penalties on every play.
Yep. I mean, it was, look, Quinnen Williams, I went back. I went back and watched the first half. Quinnen Williams dominated in that game. Quinnen Williams is out now. He's out for the season, which, you know, one defensive player only makes so much of an impact, but he was a huge difference maker in that Rams game. And, you know, anyone who's watched a Browns game this year has heard a commentator say, you know, that the gap between Baker Mayfield clean pocket versus Baker Mayfield under pressure is enormous. It's the biggest gap between those two metrics in the NFL. So the short of it is, if you keep Baker Mayfield protected, you're going to have another game where you put up, you know, 30 something points. And if you don't, you have a meltdown. I don't think the Jets are going to put any pressure on Baker Mayfield here. So I think the Browns stay hot offensively. And look, the Jets, they can't play offense. They can't rush the passer now. I have a feeling you guys are probably in the same boat. I'm just surprised that this line is single digits. And I think it's a lot of people maybe leaning on the DVOA numbers or the advanced metrics season long for the Browns. But I think you got to throw that away to an extent. And I'm not a Browns guy. And anyone who reads my columns knows I'm not much of a Baker Mayfield guy. Kind of coming around a little bit, but still not too high on him. But you got to throw away what happened in November when they just played a bunch of games in monsoons. It's a good team, and it's a really bad team. And this line is too low.
Too low. 9.5 on the road. I like it. Mitch.
Gary, I agree with a lot of what you said. And I'll just add on, you mentioned you should throw out all the monsoon games because in November, that was also when they were missing Nick Chubb. And I think you can throw some of the DVOA numbers out for similar reasons there. I just think they're so much better. Their rushing attack and their passing offense is better when they have Nick Chubb. Chubb and Hunt together are great, and they just make life so much easier on Baker Mayfield. I'm with you 100%, and we talk all about teams and their motivation and what do they have to play for. Well, the Jets, they had a lot to play for when everyone thought they were going to go 0-16. I think they are totally in danger of being a team. They got their win. It's over with. What do they have the next 2 weeks? No one's going to care about the difference between 1-15 and 2-14, especially if the Jaguars lose out and they get Trevor Lawrence no matter what. So, you know, I think, like Jimmy said, talk about overreacting to what happened last week. I think there's a little bit of that. The Jets are still the Jets. They're still a 1-13 team. We should think of them the way we would often think of a 1-13 team. I think the Browns, I love what I've seen from them. I think that Ravens game, and sometimes you talk about, you know, moral victories and is that a real thing or not, that really did seem to be a moment for them, even though they ended up losing that game. You know, it feels like it could have been a turning point for them in their season to finish strong. I like the Browns here to cruise. 9.5, yeah, you know, 9.5 on the road, but at least it's not 13.5 or 17.5 like some of the spreads we saw last week. And so, yeah, you know, I like Cleveland a lot here.
The team that the Browns beat last week, the Giants, going to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Baltimore minus 11. Total here is 45, Mitch.
Yeah, so now we're talking big numbers again. So we should say Daniel Jones is out and Colt McCoy will be in again. I believe that's the case. Or maybe it's like everyone knows it's going to be the case, but it's not 100% official yet. But I think it will be. So, you know, the Giants the last 2 weeks, they had their high water mark of the season, that upset in Seattle with Colt McCoy, famously spoken about plenty on this show the week leading up to that game. Since then, they lost 26-7 and they lost 20-6. And you have to have significant worries about their offense, I think. And the Ravens have totally turned their season around. This is one, you know, I think the analysis of the game itself, I don't know how much time we have to spend on it. I think we all agree and that the Ravens should win pretty comfortably here. But to me, I just think 11 points is a little bit too high to best bet it. So for me, it's going to be a stay away, even though obviously I like Baltimore for reasons that should make sense to everybody. But, you know, if you maybe pick a side, I guess I'd say take Baltimore minus 11. But feels like a lot of points here, so I'm going to leave this one alone.
No, I've got a Ravens lean here. I think they are a borderline top five team in the league. I thought that even when they were slumping, I thought it was sort of a matter of some bad breaks and some untimely injuries and a couple of weather games there. So I lean Ravens here. Colt McCoy Giants just not going to do it for you.
I love the under again. If Colt McCoy is the quarterback, the Giants can't score. And the total here is 45. I think the Giant defense is good. And I think they can, you know, keep Baltimore from going off into that 35, 38 point level. I think they could keep Baltimore to 24-27. Giants can't score. Love the under. Next game, I don't understand this line. You guys are going to have to explain it to me. The Colts are only minus 2 at Pittsburgh. I don't understand this at all, Gary.
I don't know. I mean, look, the thing that's shocking about the Steelers team is they're not incapable of throwing the ball downfield. I know Ben was inaccurate in the Cincinnati game, but I don't think that's been the case for the most part over the course of the year. I don't want to say this is like vintage Ben about to break out, but you just figured at some point they're going to expand this offense and get the downfield passing game going, and I still think they can do that if they want to. It seems like they don't do it because they're so terrified of Ben taking any hits over the course of a game. And now you saw Monday night. I mean, those Bengals safeties who aren't, they're kind of okay, I guess, but you can just play like a missile. I mean, you can just come downfield every time you see a crossing route and just know that the ball's not going to go over your head. So at some point, the Steelers are just going to say, you know, maybe winning the Super Bowl is more important than keeping Ben Roethlisberger healthy, and then they will expand the offense. I don't know when that happens, and that's why I'm sort of staying away, but I'm with you, Jimmy, or what I anticipate you will be with, Jimmy, that the Colts are sort of being disrespected by this line here.
I mean, the Steelers haven't played well in like 6 weeks.
Mitch? I guess the other thing you're looking at, I Phillip Rivers, when he gets pressured, much different quarterback. So if you're saying T.J. Watt and that pass rush is going to take over this game, I guess you're just.
Why didn't they take over the game against the Bengals?
Yeah, it just seems. I'm with you. It just seems like this line is very optimistic.
Yeah, I mean,
the Steelers.
They've lost too many guys. The Steelers. They've gotten worse on both sides of the ball. You could do a whole segment on their offense and on their defense. The defense has been great, and I've I've loved watching them all year. But they've lost guys. They lost, and you know, it's like you lose Devin Bush early in the season, you can plug somebody in and be fine. But when they pile up and there's more, and then they lose, not T.J. Watt, it was Derek Watt on the first play of the game. But yeah, Bud Dupree, and then Spillane got hurt, and it's just like. They add up, and I know every team's dealing with injuries this time of the year, but, you know, when you lose too many of the important guys, it's a problem. On offense, you know, Gary, you're talking about Big Ben, and obviously he's had problems. If you remember, like, early in the season, they were being really creative, getting Chase Claypool the ball in, like, all sorts of spots. He was scoring, like, running the ball and receiving, and they were, you know, getting everybody the ball on these quick plays and letting them, run all over the field to make plays, and they just haven't had that identity anymore. They can't run the ball at all. And so to expect that they're going to run against this Colts defense, it's going to be another game where you look up at the box score at the end of the game and Pittsburgh's leading rusher has like 40 yards, which, by the way, has already happened 4 times this season. And when you can't run like that, Big Ben hasn't been good enough to like lead them as a, you know, high flying passing attack. Indy, they can run the ball. They can stop the run. And, you know, Pittsburgh's lost 3 games in a row. So you look at them and you say 11-3 is pretty impressive, but you got to worry about how they're playing now. And I'm with you. This line is just totally disrespectful to the Colts. And this is probably my easiest one on the board as far as best bets this week.
Steelers have not topped 20 points since week 11 in their 4 games since then, 17, 15, 17, 19. I'm very impressed with the Colts. This is not just an anti-Steeler pick. This is also a pro-Colts pick. I think they might be the second best team in the AFC behind the Chiefs. You could make, you know, it's either them or Buffalo at this point. The Colts are that good. So I -2, I will, I'll be all over that. Next game is the Sunday night game on NBC. The Packers are 3-point favorites against the Titans. Biggest total of the week, 56 on this one. Mitch.
Yeah, I love this game. This is probably the game I'm most excited to watch this week. Packers Colts a few weeks ago was crazy, and now the Packers are going to get the other AFC South contender, and I'm expecting another good game. You know, I've been saying for 6 weeks that I thought the Packers were the best team in the NFC, and even before we saw the Saints choke against the Eagles. But, you know, the Titans have also just been totally rolling through this whole portion of the schedule, except for that one first half against Cleveland. So my gut here, I'm a little surprised the spread's more than a field goal. My gut says take the points here. It's going to be a night game at Lambeau, so it's going to be one of those like cold weather games. But it feels like the Titans are kind of built for that kind of game. Like Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, I have visions of them breaking tackles, like have fun trying to tackle them in the freezing cold in Lambeau at night. I think we saw from last season, the second half in the playoff run, that's what kind of team the Titans are, and I've been impressed that they've picked it up like that. honestly, like, picking the game straight up, I'm totally torn about who it is. But I just think getting more than a field goal, not a slight at all against Green Bay. They're a great team. I've been high on them all year. But it feels like they, I mean, they, you know, maybe I'm just feeling burned by them letting Carolina come back and get the backdoor cover last week on whatever night of the week that was. But, you know, I think if I'm picking a side here, I would take the points and just figure this game might be come down to a field goal at the end one way or the other.
Gary.
Yeah, Jimmy, you brought this up a couple times over the years. Packers typically don't have back-to-back duds, and obviously they won last Saturday night, but it felt like a dud. And Aaron Rodgers, if you saw any of his comments after the game, he was talking about it like it was a dud. It was just a really down performance for the offense, and especially this season, they really haven't had those performances back-to-back. They bounced back really nicely the next week. So this Titans defense, we know they're bad at football. They don't get off the field on third down. You could very easily see Rodgers going out there and putting up 35 points. And obviously, we know the Titans can put up points. So I'm a coward. The number's a little too high for me, so I'll back off. But I do like the over here, and I think this is going to be a lot of points put up in this game.
Yeah, I can't go over 56. I thought long and hard about taking Tennessee. Every now and again, it doesn't happen to me often, but every now and again, there's a game where you just have a feel more than anything else. And I don't know why, but Sunday night, I just pictured Derrick Henry running roughshod all over Lambeau Field and all over that field. And I think that might be, like, I think this could be like one of those 220-yard games for Derrick Henry. I don't know why. I just have this feeling on it. Yeah. But it's, you know, like I said, it's a feeling, so I wouldn't best bet it, but I don't know, something tells me tennis, you know, I think a lot of people see Packers minus three. They don't even look at who the opponent is. You grab that. Packers at home minus three. I don't know. I just got a weird feeling. I don't know what it is, but I could just, this is the type of game I could see Tennessee maybe shocking the world. Next game is Monday night. The Bills minus seven in New England against the playoff-less Patriots. Total 46, Gary.
Yeah, I like Buffalo in this one. I kind of mentioned last week it felt like the Patriots were sort of 1 foot out on the season. And again, I mean, look, veteran team, professional team, maybe they just want to spoil the Bills' season a little bit now that they're taking their AFC East crown. But I think in all likelihood, the Bills, who are just more talented anyway, win this one. However, the number's a little too big for me. I do think it's a one-possession game. I really like the under in this one is going to be my play. The Bills wanted to get this run game going on offense the second half of the season. They certainly have a chance to here against a Patriots team that absolutely cannot stop the run. And then on the Patriots side of it, they, you know, we know they don't throw the ball. They haven't thrown the ball well all year, so they're going to try and run it. I think the clock keeps moving. I think it looks a lot like the matchup they had in Buffalo earlier in the season, where it was 24-21, lots of running in that game, except I don't think the Patriots can maybe quite keep pace with the Bills in this one. So I'll go under the 46 here and lean Buffalo, but stay away from the side.
Mitch?
Yeah, it's funny to look at this game because I remember when the schedule came out, this was like an event that people were circling and saying, oh, this could be the game of the year. Is this, you know, the end of the Patriots dynasty? Are the Bills going to beat them on Monday night and clinch the division? And now it's like a meaningless game for New England and Buffalo already ran away with it. I feel pretty much similarly to how Gary does. You know, the Bills are the better team. They still have a lot to play for, even though they've wrapped up the division. At least this week, I think they do. I think once the Chiefs wrap up the one seed, I don't know how much difference there is this year between the two and the three. I guess you still want home field advantage in the divisional round, but it feels like this is a game they're going to want to win. And, you know, I'm with you. They're the better team, but seven is just a little bit too high. You know, I could see it being a 7-point win, and why would I want another frustrating, annoying push on my record to complain about? Maybe I should bet that they'll win by exactly 7. If this was the Super Bowl and we were betting all the prop bets, I could take that. But no, I think I'm going to leave this one alone, even though I lean Bills.
I love the Bills here. A couple of things. The Patriots can't score. So if the Bills get to 24, 27, 30... the Patriots have no chance to keep up with them. Their offense is completely inept on every level. And I know this from being a Yankee fan. People now, the Patriots are down. The opponents want to kick them now while they're down because they've been good for so long. The Bills will, we saw it last week, the Dolphins finally got to beat the Patriots in a big situation for them. Eliminate the Patriots from the playoffs. The Bills are going to love romping all over the Patriots after being doormats for the Patriots. Every team in that division has been doormats for the Patriots. The Patriots are eliminated. They're playing for nothing. You think teams let up? No. They are going to hit the accelerator and bludgeon the Patriots whenever they can as payback for the last 20 years. So I love laying a touchdown there with a juggernaut Bills offense.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
All right. Lightning round time. We got 7 games here in the lightning round. So we'll see if we can go through this quickly. These are games that we don't love in terms of wagers. The first game right off the bat, we say it. They don't try. They don't cover. Chiefs -10.5 against the Falcons, total 54. I can't bet the Chiefs anymore. The line is 10.5. They'll be up by 17 and give up a late touchdown that means nothing, and they won't cover. So that's my theory. Mitch?
Yeah, you're 100% right, but we're all cowards, so none of us are going to best bet the Falcons,
right?
Because you best bet the Falcons, and then the Chiefs score 28 points in the first quarter, and you feel like an idiot, and they don't even have to try. The Chiefs, their last six games were all wins by 6 points or fewer. Now it's going to be Le'Veon Bell time with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out. And Tyreek Hill's hamstring, I don't know if eventually this is going to be a problem. It feels like every single week they're just like monitoring his hamstring, and then they say that he's fine. But yeah, you know, Jimmy, you hit the nail on the head. This is the lightning round. We don't have to elaborate too much. I think obviously I like the Chiefs here, and I think the Falcons are going to cover, but I'm not going to best bet against the Chiefs, so that's where I come down.
Gary?
Yeah, see if it sinks under 10. Chiefs, like I said, Chiefs defense is fresh here. Didn't have to play many snaps last week in New Orleans.
The Bears, 7.5-point favorites in Jacksonville, total 47.5. I don't even know if we know who the quarterback yet is for Jacksonville. Gary?
Yeah, and it makes no sense. I have no idea what they're doing with the quarterback situation in Jacksonville. You have no good quarterbacks, but you have one guy who's clearly better than the other guy, so just play Gardner Minshew.
And make sure you lose, I mean, so you get the good quarterback in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's like, and again, the Bears should win this game going away. They have found a formula offensively that works, and obviously their defense is really good. I'm just backing away with it. And look, it's stupid and it's anecdotal, but I don't know. If you're Doug Marrone and you know this is the end of your run here, don't you just want to go out with a couple wins? Don't you want to win a game or two and go? And I wouldn't. Again, it's stupid and anecdotal. You should bet the Bears if you're betting this game, but you know, just get the feeling that I don't know, Jaguars are going to go out there and beat them on a late field goal, and Trevor Lawrence swings back to the Jets.
Gary, I think everyone would like to just win a couple of games. I think if you talk to Matt Nagy, who also could be on the hot seat if he blows this game, I'm sure he'd like to win, probably, if it was that simple. I don't know. I mean, yeah, a week ago we would have said that the Jaguars were the team that was still fighting, even though they were totally out of it. And then last week they get the doors blown off them, and it's the Jets and the Bengals who go out and score giant upsets. So I don't know. You can't lay 7.5 with Chicago. So I guess I lean Jacksonville. But it's also, you're right, it's so weird. I mean, they don't even know who's starting. And at this point, they've had a whole season of watching these guys practice. They've seen everybody in games. They've had three different quarterbacks this year. It's really strange that they don't know what they're doing down to the wire. You'd think they ought to be able to announce on Monday, hey, this is our quarterback, whether it's Minshew or not. And I agree with you, it should be Minshew. But yeah, just a weird situation. I think the Jags are going to finish it off 1-15 here.
I think the team I've watched the least this year is the Jaguars. I have no feel. I haven't watched the Bears much lately either. I know they're playing better, obviously, Trubisky. But I don't watch these teams. I have no feel. I can't give you any betting advice on it. Another game I will gladly not watch one single second of on Sunday. The Texans are 8.5-point favorites against the Bengals. The total is 45.5. Mitch.
Yeah, this one, I don't know where to begin with this. My Texans have fallen so far. I mean, the Bengals, you've got to think this is a letdown game for them. Last week, Monday night, at home, division rival, you could tell from the first three plays how pumped up they were. They can't have that again a second week in a row. I think that was just because it was the Steelers and a home game in front of everybody. Now a short week, traveling to Houston, but who knows? I mean, the Texans have disappointed me plenty of times before, and they will disappoint me again. So I will stay miles and miles away from this one.
Gary?
I'd jump on the Texans if it was less than a touchdown here. I'll stay away. One thing I just want to know, one, the fact that, you know, they're going to have to defend a team that has a quarterback who is going to offer more possibilities than Ben Roethlisberger in these quick strike throws. But this Bengals offense, I mean, look, 4.1 yards per play last week against the Steelers. All the key plays were these Ryan Finley keepers off of read option looks, which no one prepares for because no one thinks Ryan Finley is gonna keep it. So that is kind of out of the bag. I don't know what else they could do offensively. I think there's no more surprises for the Bengals. I think they just don't score points anymore.
Next game, Chargers, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Broncos. Total 48.5, Gary.
I like Denver. I also like Denver last week, and they, you know, had a bit of a dud on Saturday, so I'll back off of it. I will mention the Chargers, as soon as you want to jump on the Chargers bandwagon, they just let you down. They are, over the last 2 years, coming off a game where they have 400-plus yards, they're 0-9 against the spread. So, if you're going to bet Denver, but probably just you'll live your life. Stay Mitch. Away.
Well, I'm glad Gary had something to say, because two rules on this podcast: I don't talk about the Broncos, Jimmy doesn't talk about the Chargers, so it's this is why it's lightning round. And thank you, Gary, for speaking.
I don't bet the Chargers, but I will check into this game because I think it's going to be such a train wreck, it'll be fun, but I won't bet it. But this has definitely got, like, I think 31-31, 1 minute left. Anthony Lynn screws up some way, and then Drew Lock throws a pick. Like, there, this will be like a crazy last minute finish. I just won't bet the game.
Like that Chargers Falcons game a few weeks ago where they were competing to lose.
That was low scoring. This, I think, will be more high scoring. The over here could be a play if you're looking for something. Next game, Washington minus 2.5 at home against Carolina. Total 44.5. I don't know what the quarterback situation is there with Washington. You know, this has nothing to do with gambling, but I don't know. A lot of people were like putting Matt Rhule in the coaching Hall of Fame in the beginning of the season. And that team has done one of the biggest collapses that you don't hear about because no one cares about the Carolina Panthers nationally. But that has been one of the biggest fold jobs I've ever seen in the NFL. Anyway, Washington minus 2.5 total, 44.5 Mitch.
I don't know if I would call it a collapse because I feel like everyone kind of knew they were overachieving at the start of the season.
Yeah, they were a 2-14 roster.
Yeah, I think they tailed off more than they collapsed. Maybe I'm not trying to be the Matt Rhule Kool-Aid provider.
There's a lot of like Matt Rhule fanboy stuff going on the first month of the season, and
sure,
I've seen him make some
true
decisions that are just completely Bill O'Brien-esque.
Man, that's an insult. So this is the Ron Rivera Bowl, which I guess makes it emotional for both sides. I have no idea how you decide whether or not that factors. It also just feels like, you know, the Panthers have had so much turnover. Like, I think it would be bigger if it was like you tune in and the pregame coin toss, it's like, you know, Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly and Christian McCaffrey, who's not playing, and Greg Olsen. If it was like those guys, then you'd think they'd be like, oh, we got to go out and be like, I don't know, who knows? Like, half the roster probably doesn't even know Ron Rivera personally. So I throw that one out. But yeah, Jimmy, you're right about the quarterback situation. I mean, I think Washington's hoping to have Alex Smith back. They don't know if he will. And if he does play, they don't know if he'll be 100%. Other options, I don't know if they would play Dwayne Haskins. I saw the team voted to strip him of his captaincy. This morning. We're talking on Wednesday. It's kind of hard to turn around and put that guy back in the huddle. But then if Alex Smith isn't healthy, their other options are Taylor Heinicke or Steven Montez. So, you know, maybe you just grab Carolina plus 2.5 because, you know, that line could swing a lot. Like, I'm ready for Sunday morning, the tweet from Adam Schefter that's just like, Alex Smith isn't ready, and they're going with Taylor Heinicke today. And then all of a sudden, Carolina's favored by 2.5, 3 points, or, you know, maybe the line swings a whole touchdown. So I don't know. Maybe that's a spot you get a little value getting in on Carolina early in the week. But not for me. I choose not to bet.
I was gonna say it's the only team in the league where it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They don't try and throw the ball anyway. Like Logan Thomas has their biggest passing play. Their tight end has their biggest passing play like the last 3 weeks here. And sorry, Jamie, I'm jumping the gun and because I get all fired up when I talk about Washington football team quarterbacks. You go Carolina. The football team's whole formula has been to. And I'm talking about the proper noun football team. Their whole formula has been for the last 2 months, our defense is going to score multiple touchdowns, and that's how we're going to win games, or we're going to play a team that happens to just not tackle that week, in the case of the Cowboys Thanksgiving night game. It's a ridiculous formula. It's a ridiculous team. They don't have a name. They don't have a quarterback. I'll take anyone getting points against them.
I like Washington here. I just would like to know who the quarterback is. I think, you know, obviously if Alex Smith plays, I think they definitely win and cover. I can even see them winning and covering with Haskins only because I think the Washington will be motivated, I think, for Ron Rivera's game against his former team. The Panthers are done. They're shot. They gave that effort in Green Bay. I think now it's over for them. And listen, the Haskins thing is absurd. Like, yes, he did something. But, like, he's holding a press conference now today on Wednesday. They stripped him of his captaincy. So he's going to go out there, I think, with a little chip on his shoulder and, you know, try to convince people he's not a complete buffoon. So maybe he plays well. And like Gary said, they don't throw the ball downfield anyway. All he's got to do is dink it and dunk it a little bit. And, you know, I think the Washington team will get a victory here. Next game, it's a good game. The Seahawks minus 1.5 against the Rams in Seattle. Total 47.5, Gary.
Yeah, I was bummed. I bet Rams every time they play the Seahawks, and I was hoping after that Jets loss, this line would swing to like 4 for the Seahawks or something like that, and it just didn't. And I think it's just out of principle, I won't bet it. I'd still lean Rams here. I do think they just match up well with the Seahawks. They always have. The one other thing that's sort of making me hesitant on it is when we saw these teams play early in the year in L.A., two things. One, you had Andrew Whitworth was healthy for the first half of that game when the Rams had a lead. The other thing was the Rams defensively just went out there and just absolutely dared the Seahawks to run the ball. And that was still during the let Russ Cook mania, and the Seahawks just refused to run it on first down, even when they the Rams would put like one down lineman on and put like 10 other guys like 10 yards off the ball on first down, and they still wouldn't run the ball. So Chris Carson is back now. They're not gonna, if the Seahawks have a chance to run it, they're gonna run it. That's who they've been the last month and a half here, and I think it's a little bit of a different equation here, and this is probably one that comes down to, like so many Seahawks games over the last 3 years, just comes down to the final possession.
I double checked the line for you. It's still 1.5, so you're not getting any favors there, Mitch.
Yep.
Yeah, I sometimes I can't with these NFC West games. I know, speaking as a guy who's about to tell you in the next segment that I'm best betting the Cardinals against the Niners, but like, who knows with some of these teams? And Gary, you're right, how the Rams own the Seahawks. It's like they all sort of own each other. It's like the big flow chart that I've seen floating around. But, this would be the ultimate bounce back game for the Rams after what we saw. And you'd think they ought to be able to do that. Meanwhile, the Seahawks, they laid their egg against the Giants, and then they beat those Jets 40-3. But sometimes you throw that out because just like weird things happen, and we say this all the time. It's like the reason this is so hard is because sometimes the good teams just play like crap 1 week and vice versa, and it happens, and a lot of times you don't see it coming. I don't know. This is another game. I think, Jimmy, you said it. It's a good game. I'm excited to watch. A ton of stakes on this one. I think I lean Seattle just because I've kind of leaned their way for most of the season. I guess I expect them to pull out a win, but I might talk myself out of it and convince myself the Rams are going to win tomorrow. So I'm totally torn on this one. A lot of times, like the games that we push to the lightning round, or you say, I don't have a feel because I don't like either of these teams, or like I just don't even have any idea. This one, I'm like, I can talk myself into either side. So I defer to Gary.
it would be impossible for me to have less of a feel for a game than this one. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if either team won. I wouldn't be surprised if it went over. I wouldn't be surprised if it went under. I wouldn't even begin to know how to pick this one. Last game of the week, the Eagles go into Dallas as 2-point favorites. The total here, 49.5. Such a big total. Jalen Hurts in for Wentz, so now the Eagles have a functioning offense. And Mitch, what do you got?
Yeah, so the Eagles, they've been living in the lightning round for much of the season because I'm a coward, and normally I would love to be best betting their games all season, and this year I just can't. But as an Eagles fan and a glutton for punishment, I do like the Eagles here. Maybe I'm just trying to talk myself into it. But, the offense, it's not just the quarterback. I mean, Jalen Hurts has just made everything look better. And, even just some of the guys who weren't contributing at all earlier in the season are suddenly showing up. And, I know some of that's the Eagles have had guys in and out of the lineup. But like last week, you're looking up and Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz are making plays. And you're asking, like, what year is it? And then, Quez Watkins has a touchdown and Greg Ward. It's just like it looks like a totally different team. So then, the Eagles, one of their big problems last week was just the health in the secondary. And I know the Cowboys, they've got those talented wide receivers. CeeDee Lamb is probably going to have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game, just because that is a thing that happens against the Eagles, especially a guy like him who every Eagles fan I know wanted to draft him in the first round, and they didn't get him, and he went to Dallas. And this is what the Eagles do. There's like a long list of great wide receivers who just torch the Eagles. But if that's all they do, I still think the Eagles can come out and win this game like 26-20, where CeeDee Lamb is the only offense that they have. I like their mojo. I thought it was an encouraging game from Jalen Hurts, even in a loss last week against Arizona. And I just think Dallas is such a mess. I mean, every team in some way, shape, or form in this division is a mess. And, I don't know. Call me crazy. Sometimes you just have a hunch on a game, and I just think Philly's going to find a way to win this game.
Gary.
Yeah, I lean Dallas, but no one wants to bet Dallas at this point. I will say the optimistic thing for the Eagles is they want to run the ball. They want to run a ton. We say all year the Cowboys just every other week they decide they're not going to tackle anyone. So it would not be a surprise at all if you saw like Miles Sanders have a 70-yard touchdown run and Jalen Hurts have a couple of long runs. I will say this about the Eagles, though, and I think last week was very encouraging for Jalen Hurts. It's still very early in the process, though, and that is a game where they won the turnover margin 3-0. They got a series of let's call them very suspect pass interference calls that they benefited from, and they still only put up 26 points and lost the game. You don't lose many games in the NFL with those kinds of advantages coming your way, and they're not going to be there most weeks. So again. Crummy teams, you don't really want to bet on either one of them. I if you were going to flip a coin, you'd probably say the Eagles find a way, but they're giving points. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is, they've turned it around a little bit here. I mean, they beat San Fran, beat Cincinnati, not good teams, obviously, and they're not dead. So I think I'd have to lean Dallas, but I have no confidence where I would bet them. All right, that wraps up the board for week 16. Only one regular season week left after this week. We will now give you our best bets for week 16. Mitch, there you go.
All right, well, to be clear, I do not have the Eagles. I am not best betting them in Dallas, but I do have four other games for you. One home team and three road teams. Give me that Cardinals -5 in the double home game against the 49ers. I think I'm going to be going against Gary on at least a couple games here, but I like Miami -3 in Vegas, Cleveland -9.5 at the Jets, and the Colts -2 in Pittsburgh for my four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I have San Francisco +5 at Arizona, and I have Vegas +3 hosting the Dolphins. I'm also going to go Browns -9.5 at the Jets. East Rutherford again. And two totals, I'm going over 54. Is that what we had it at for Bucks and Lions?
Yeah, 53.5. Congratulations.
Oh, 53.5. Even better. And then I'll go under in that Patriots-Bills game, under 46.
46. I got five for you. Saints -7, Christmas Day. Colts -2 against the Steelers. Under 47, Browns, Jets. Under 45, Giants, Ravens. Bills -7. Little party there for the Buffalo getting to beat up on New England and reverse course after 20 years of the other way around. So those are my five for the best bets, week 16. We will be back. New episode next week for week 17, the last week of the season, heading into the new year. So check that out here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast feed. All right, that wraps it up. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, good luck with the wagers. We'll see you next week.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.